Are you a good listener? How do you even become a good listener? Well, to be a master communicator, you need to know how to listen. So listen up. Welcome to Vancouver Current Worldwide. I'm Ray Talili.
And I'm Spencer Alexander.
Spence, sometimes you don't really listen, man.
I was going to say the same about you, man.
But to be fair, most of us could brush up on our listening skills.
First, we would have to define what a good listener is.
Okay, cool. But before we get to that, what a marvel of existence it is to be even able to hear sounds. I mean,
it's amazing, man. The senses are amazing. At which point in our evolution did we develop hearing? Sounds are essentially vibrations.
Neuroscientist Seth Horowitz wrote a book on the subject and describes sound like this. Vibration sensitivity is found in even the most primitive life forms, even bacteria. It's so critical to your environment. Everywhere you go, there is vibration, and it tells you something. Sound can travel a long way. It will propagate through anything, the ground, water. It works at night, goes around corners. You hear anywhere from 20 to 100 times faster than you see, so that everything that you perceive with your ears is coloring every other perception you have and every conscious thought you have.
Interesting. And I think of all the different sounds that we can hear and how each voice is like a unique voice print and background sounds and nice sound versus bad sound.
I went to a great exhibit once entitled Soundscape. Soundscape is a term to describe the sound environment. So in the exhibit, they compared changing soundscapes. So a microphone was recording sounds in the exact same spots decades apart in Berlin and Vancouver. And just as the physical environment changed quite significantly over the years, so had the soundscape.
Fascinating. It makes complete sense, though, that sound environments affect our experience and attitude on a macro scale as well. Cities have an actual sound.
That's right.
Interesting. Yeah. And many people never get a dose of silence. There's always humming in the city, you know, like a refrigerator or something.
Good point. Nature is a good remedy. I actually paid good money to try to get to 0 decibels.
On vacation?
No, in a sensory deprivation tank. You float in Epsom salt in a soundproof capsule. It's neat. I would do it again.
Wow, that's neat. I should try that. Some people are more sensitive to sound than others. Do you know why?
Why?
Noise sensitivity, according to the researchers from the University of Helsinki and Aarhus University, has to do with the way an individual's brain processes sound. Basically, it's not based on a negative attitude towards sound.
I knew it. We're all unique. Some people will feel the cold more than others. What they are feeling or hearing is real and valid. It's nice to know that there's research backing that up. It's like the office temperature debate thing.
Oh, yeah. That's another reason to welcome the work from home office setup.
Good point. No more freezing in the summer because so-and-so decides what the right aircon setting should be.
Yeah, same goes for sound. For some people, the office sound or noise is a distraction. You ever get into a cab with horrible music or loud commercials?
Yes. Have you ever walked out of a restaurant or coffee shop because the music was too loud or annoying?
Yeah, man, I have. And sometimes the music or some other sound is stressing you out and you don't even know it.
Right.
That's the cause of your stress. And then there's loud people or loud neighbors.
We could really go on about sound and its effect on our lives and health. That's really interesting.
It's so major. Perhaps we can think about doing a show on just sound.
I was thinking the same. Let's put it on the list for season 3.
Great. On the list.
For our listeners who want to improve their listening skills, we found these tips, these gems. Adam Bryant shared these tips. He picked up his expert listening skills doing hundreds of interviews for his New York Times column and over his 30 years as a career journalist.
Oh, cool. An expert listener.
That's right. He states that you need to be, quote, Be comfortable not knowing what you're going to say next. Trust that you will be able to think of something in the moment. Unquote. He calls that the improv approach.
That's good. That is truly listening instead of lining up what you're going to say next.
That's right. And it sends the message that you really are listening. Why do so many of us find that hard to do?
I don't know exactly, but I suspect it has to do with habits that we've picked up, either from work or from elsewhere. We listen well with our friends, I think, at least. Not always, but often, because there's no motive, right? Other than just to listen or just to chat. You're just present in the moment. Everybody loves a good listener. What else?
You just said it. Be present. So don't multitask. Put the phone away. Don't be a distracted listener. People who we often describe as having presence are in fact good listeners.
Right, because they are fully there. Humans are not good multitaskers in general.
He also recommends that you question your motivation. Why am I talking? Basically, be agenda free. Otherwise, you are thinking about how to respond rather than listening. That is what active listening means.
Active listening. That's something you hear a lot nowadays. Active listening.
True, but the term was actually coined by psychologists in the late 1950s. It seems the message has still not gotten through.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Any good tips from this journal?
Have a learn one thing from everyone mindset.
Okay, so be curious kind of approach.
Yeah, and nod and lean in. It shows that you're listening.
Ah, the old nod and lean.
Yeah, the good old nod and lean. What did you find out from the Business Harvard Review? What makes a good listener?
The Harvard Business Review did a good study on this subject. 3,429 participants were involved. To be a good listener, being quiet and nodding is not enough.
Darn, no more pretending to be listening?
Yeah, that's it. You're busted. Not anymore, Ben.
You know that someone somewhere out there right now is getting away with listening with yes, dear.
for sure. And someone's spouse has just inadvertently agreed to something they didn't intend to.
You're like a 6 a.m. basket weaving seminar or something.
Yeah, that would be great. 6 a.m. Not happening here, brother. Good listening means more than just asking questions. Even repeating what they said or paraphrasing is not enough.
What did those who were viewed as best listeners do better than all the rest?
The top 5% made everyone feel safe and created an inviting environment to share even difficult ideas.
So don't cross your arms kind of thing?
Exactly. That's right. They cleared distractions, phones, etc., asked questions and rephrased issues to confirm they got it. They listened with their eyes, so to speak.
So they're not just listening. They make sure they look like they're listening.
That's right. Body language. And they don't judge, but empathize with the speaker's feelings.
Okay.
Right. And the best listeners did all of this, and they were able to ask questions that clarified the speaker's assumptions.
Can you clarify that, Spence?
Okay, very good, Ray. You just did it. Exactly that.
Thanks, man. It basically sounds like the way one talks and listens with one's good friends, when you think about it.
That's it, exactly. Yes, it does.
In some regions, people literally talk over one another. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not considered rude. No, I'm saying when there's places where people just do it and it's just not considered rude.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we're doing it right now.
Yeah, let's talk about interrupting. Okay, so a George Washington University study concluded that men really do interrupt women more, 33% more, in fact.
Okay. There are a number of reasons people don't listen. They're not focused, tired, hungry, not interested, thinking about something else, doing something else. Who knows? But interrupting is there. is there an excuse?
Not really. Actually, it depends. I think between some friends, family, or relationships, you might interrupt in a way that is acceptable, right? You know, you're just excited, right? And that's the dynamic of the animated, sometimes very humorous conversation. But if you carry that outside your close circle, others may just end up judging you as boorish. There's a time and place.
Agreed. People will interrupt if they are in a hurry or angry, you know, that'll happen.
Yeah. Right. And on the flip side, if you're constantly being interrupted by many people, you may need to change your communication. Maybe you need to speed it up or change it up.
That's a good point, man. That's a really good point. If it's just one person that is always interrupting you, then the problem is with them.
Right.
Yeah. And we're not even addressing the people who won't let others speak. They just go on and on and on. Interrupting is obviously justified here, right?
Did you find any remedies for the interrupters that might be listening?
No. There's no hope for those.
For the interrupters. You guys are screwed.
No, kidding. There's always hope. If you put into practice all good listening skills that we've covered earlier, such as active listening, you will interrupt less. You can also add the 80-20 listening versus talking rule.
There is something else I uncovered in this Get Better at Listening project.
Okay, what was that?
Zoom calls or team calls, video calls.
Right, for sure. Getting that right, no interrupting. I found at best tricky at times.
You're not alone. Picking up on the cues as to when to talk and listening like you are in fact listening on video calls. Well, that's a new skill that has to be acquired. Not talking over others, because sometimes there's the time lag on some connections.
Of course.
And then you've got multiple people on the call, and we forget how we look when we forget there's a camera, our facial expressions, etc. We take embarrassing screenshots of each other for fun at work. They're quite funny.
I'll bet you do. So what do you do on video calls?
Be cognizant of time lags. Just use the hand up sign when you're in a group. And the same rules apply on video calls. Don't be typing other stuff, reading your emails incessantly. Be there and keep your camera on. Time for our fun fact segment.
Oh, all right. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, listeners, Spence, guess what creature has the best hearing? You'll never guess.
Oh, man. Okay, let me think. A deer.
No, a moth.
Moth?
Moths. They have the best hearing in the world. The greater wax moth holds the record. They can hear 150 times better than us.
Wow, man, that's amazing. I think I just developed some serious respect for moths.
It basically has to hear better than the creature that hunts it, the bat. The bats have the second best hearing, by the way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Owls and elephants. Did you know that?
No,
amazing hearing.
Well, I'm thinking, given the size of their ears, it'd be hard pressed for them not to.
Cats and dogs are pretty good, but the moth, it's in a category of its own.
Wow. Okay. The loudest sound ever recorded was the 1883 Krakatoa volcano in Indonesia. 310 decibels. The explosion was heard almost 4,800 clicks away. That's 3,000 miles away. That's like hearing a sound from New York if you were in LA. That's pretty huge. Or hearing a sound in Vancouver all the way from Montreal.
Wow. 310 decibels. What about a nuclear explosion?
The Russian nuke Tsar Bomba reached 224 decibels. Some argue that the 1908 Tunguska meteor event in Siberia was louder than Krakatoa.
Okay. The record for the loudest person in the world, this according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is held by Annalisa Ray from Belfast, who yelled the word quiet at 121.7 decibels. That's the sound of a jet engine taking off.
Oh, wow. You imagine being her spouse or child when she calls you for dinner? No faking that.
Well, classroom assistant Jill Drake, also from the UK, holds the scream record. In 2000, she hit 129 decibels. That's the sound of an ambulance. Can you imagine? 129 to 130, by the way, is the threshold of sound pain.
That's unbelievable. Her voice is like a weapon.
Yeah, she'd be pretty safe with her voice. She could just zap anyone. Eh? She could zap an entire neighborhood.
That's right, she could. Oh, my God. The quietest place on earth is an anechoic chamber in Minnesota. It's a lab with negative decibels, negative 9.4, actually. The longest anyone has ever stayed in that chamber is 45 minutes. You lose all your cues. You become the sound. People can't handle it.
Fascinating. Zero decibels does not mean silent. It's just the sound at which humans can begin hearing things.
Okay. After hearing someone speak, we can immediately recall 50% of what we heard, and only 20% of that 1 hour later. If we don't like the subject or person, it's even less.
Spence, that is it for this episode.
Man, thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Spence, and thank you all. What a great community of curious-minded listeners we have. Until next time, enjoy your day or evening.